Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but what was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples I can still grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school book plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The cummins, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked that you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff fancy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
a penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God than Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, 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 shalom. Good morning, Babakwa Tawab, which means good morning in the ancient Paleo-Hebrew. Welcome to the show, Sword of Truth Presents, sponsored by ISBHBK, Bible Talk. I'm your brother, as always, your host, your friend, Tazapa, man. I just love that song, man. The lyrics, the brothers really put a spirit into that song, man. Let's give them brothers, wherever they may be, a nice round of applause for that song, man. Water Mashaba for hooking up the broadcast, also for digging into the archives, man, to find that music. You brothers really put some great music together back in the day. Mashaba, I'm still looking forward to our special show we talked about. And just give everybody a little bit of insight. We want to do a show in which me and Mashaba sit down, man, and
he gives his story, man, of how he came into the truth and the things he went through and experienced, because a lot of us don't know his side of the story, and his side of the story goes all the way back to One West and the elders that was there. And a lot of Israelites, y'all probably heard a lot of those stories. I know Sakari brings it out quite often. But nobody really talks about Kazakia's father, man, Oriala, and the things he did and put together. And that's what me and Mashaba talked about doing, an interview in which he goes into a lot of those stories in great detail, man, to let us know how that brother, well, how the truth made it outside of New York, man. But anyway, let me read this right here, y'all. This is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. This is what we're waiting on, y'all. This is what we should be praying on the daily, man, so we can get the hell up out of here, because the situation gets worse by the day. It gets worse by the day, man. So, brothers and sisters, I hope everybody is healthy. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Hope everybody had a good Sabbath. Be on the lookout for that new strand. I think it's called BA1 or something like that, of COVID. Also, let me get this too, man. And I want to send shout out, man, to all our brother schools, our brothers here in San Antonio, Albuquerque, VA, Rochester, H-Town, and the brother Cobb down in Guatemala. So this is Psalm chapter 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, yeah, y'all, good or bad, happy or sad, and I can attest to that. I want everybody to please, 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 y'all, send some prayers up for my wife, Labia. She had an unfortunate accident here in the kitchen in which she may have sprained her ankle. I believe it's sprained. She should be going to the doctor to check it out today to see what's going on with it. But she's having a real difficult time maneuvering. The injury happened based off some negligence that went on in my household, and I'm very, very upset about right now, man. And, you know, it's got me thinking. Give me, I think it's 1 John chapter 4. I think it is. It's either chapter 4 or chapter 3 or verse 1. It's got me thinking, man. The Most High is very, very merciful, y'all. And his mercy just, it's got me scratching my head, man. It's like, it's in the Gospels. I'm not going to get it, y'all, for time constraints. But you remember when, I think it was Peter came to Yahushua. He came to Christ and asked him how often should he forgive his brother when he sins against him. And Yahushua, Christ told him 7 times 70, right? Well, when you read the rest of the story, his disciples, because when Christ answered, he gave an answer to all the disciples, not just to Peter. And the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And I like reading stories like that, because that makes the people in the Bible fallible, y'all. That makes it realistic. It adds a human element to the Bible that sometimes I don't think we get and or understand. We be reading the Bible a lot of times just like it's a damn novel or a story that's fictional or something. But when I read stories like that, I'm like, man, these are real people. They had real feelings. They felt like you and I. They went through the same emotions that you and I go through. Did you find that?
That's strong.
Yeah, what's 4-1 say?
Beloved,
believe
not every.
No, I think it's 3-1. Read that.
Behold.
Yeah, that's it right there. And I'm joined again, y'all, by Hasa Bias. She's in the building. This is like it's going to be a regular occurrence, y'all, because she ain't got nothing else going on. But anyway, where we at?
1 John chapter 3, verse 1.
Loud.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us.
It says, what manner of love is this? This is why I be scratching my head like, man, we some niggas. How the Most High still love us the way he love us and still has mercy on us to where we can get redemption? We can get repentance applies to us. We just got to change. We can get salvation. He still loves us? What? All the stuff we did to him, all the stuff we do to each other, he really still calling us his sons and daughters. Read that again.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us.
What manner of love is this? This is love I've never experienced before. This is love that I wrestle with to be capable of doing. When somebody is just, man, the scripture says reprobate. The word reprobate, y'all, means beyond saving. It means beyond saving. And I ain't going to lie, man. Even the scriptures tell us that. Two-thirds of Israel got to die. Some of us are really beyond getting saved, man. Some of us are really beyond changing. Some of us just, and I say beyond, and I'm not saying that is by any fault of the Bible, because we know that the book works if you apply it. It's a result of them not wanting to change, man. Some of us just really don't want to change, and that's why the scripture says reprobate. You're just beyond saving, man. Read the rest. Read again from the top.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of the Most High.
What manner of love is this, man? This would be a head scratcher for me, y'all. I ain't figured that one out. You know, and I think about it, too. The Most High sent his only begotten son, his son. His son, nevertheless, y'all. Rhetorical question, y'all. I want y'all to ponder this. Brothers, if you have a son, would you let your son die for an ungrateful, hateful-ass people such as Israel? I want y'all to ponder on that. Ponder on that. Anyway, man, let me get off my soapbox, and let's get into some news. If it's your first time tuning in to the show, I do about an hour. Sometime I'll run over. I may run over today, y'all. I'm trying not to. Of news and current events. So where I want to go first is, let me get this one. And y'all probably heard about this one in the news. So I do about an hour of news, current events, and then I dabble into the topic. And today's topic is, let's stay together. Cheating in the next room. Divorce. So we're going to cover the topic of divorce. Last week we went over the topic of adultery, or what adultery is. And we'll dabble a little bit into that this class, but first I want to get to the news and current events. So, Hasada, if you can read this for me, please, ma'am.
Pope apologizes for deplorable evil of Canadian Indigenous schools.
So the Pope, the head of the Mother of Harlots, which is the Catholic Church, as it is referred to in Revelations, he issued an apology to Native Americans in Canada for what? Keep reading.
Pope Francis apologized on Monday to Canada's Native people on their land for the church's role in schools where Indigenous children were abused, calling their forced cultural assimilation a deplorable evil and disastrous error.
Now, when it says natives, it's talking about our so-called Native American brothers, who we know biblically their names are Reuben and Gad, but they've had this misnomer or byword placed on them. Native Americans, Indians, savages, or whatever. But their biblical names, like I said, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Reuben. And I've did countless shows showing that these are, in fact, our people. But the Pope wants to now apologize for making them assimilate into their custom, into their traditions. No different than all of us have been Americanized. Back in the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, you can read about how Alexander came into power, and do a little research, and you'll see that he ushered in something called Hellenization. And Hellenization was, because that is the root word for Greek, Hellen. Hellenization was to make other nations and people to adapt the Greek customs and way of life. And that continued on through Antiochus, the Seleucid dynasty, all of that. And they Hellenized a lot of the Israelites. Like the scripture says, there's nothing new under the sun. This right here is Hellenization, but Americanization, where they took our Native American brothers and they forced them to give up their religion, their language. The first thing they did was cut their hair, and they put them in these boarding schools, which boarding schools still go on this day and age. This is where the rich white folks send their kids when they don't want to be bothered with them. They send them to boarding schools. The original boarding schools were these schools that we're talking about right now in this article. Can we read on in the article, please?
Speaking near the site of two former schools in Maskwacis, Alberta, Francis apologized for Christian support of the colonizing mentality of the time.
It said what kind of support?
Colonizing mentality.
No, the Christian support. Read that part.
Francis apologized for Christian support.
Christian support, because this is how the so-called white man, the white man, operates. We loosely refer to him white, but he's red. He always colonizes the place, and he sends his missionaries in. The missionaries are always who? It's the Catholic Church. They send them in to psychologically break the people, because they already break them through means of war and destruction. And then they send them, the missionaries, in to break them, like I said, psychologically and spiritually. Read on.
Francis apologized for Christian support of the colonizing mentality of the time and called for a serious investigation of the schools to help survivors and descendants heal.
You see what I just said. She just read it in the article. Colonizer. This was part of colonization, y'all. I'm not making this up. And we're reading this. This from Rutgers?
From Reuters.
Reuters. Mm-hmm. I'll be butchering stuff. It's from Reuters. So y'all can go and check this article out. So that's all I want to get from that. Matter of fact, I heard it first on NPR, and one of the chiefs said that they're still affected on these reservations this day and age. You see that in the article? He says they're still affected on these reservations by what was did to them in these boarding schools. That's why Native Americans have the highest rate of alcoholism, drug abuse. Don't take my word for it, y'all. Check the stats. They psychologically and spiritually destroy our people, man. You got it?
Yeah.
Read that part.
For Wallace Yellowface, 78, a boarding school survivor from the Pekani Nation Reserve in
This is a brother that survived, 78 years old. Read.
In southern Alberta, the Pope's message was too little, offered too late. It's late for an apology, and I don't think it will do me much good, he said, adding that he was still trying to find out what happened to his sister who attended a residential school. Still, many of the indigenous people in the crowd cried openly or applauded each time the Pope said he was sorry or condemned policies to wipe out indigenous cultures.
This brother's 78 and still don't know where his sister at.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that, man? And, you know, we have a lot of Israelites who have the audacity to say that the Native Americans are not our people. And some Native Americans even say, man, we ain't no Israelites. Y'all don't read the Bible. Give me Deuteronomy 28, 32. Now, do we always go to Deuteronomy 28 to show so-called black people and the other tribes, the two and a half tribes, that they're the children of Israel, man? But Deuteronomy 28 applies to all 12 tribes because all 12 tribes went through this. Read that.
Deuteronomy 28 and 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people.
What does it say?
Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people.
We just read how our so-called Native American brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, was given to another people by way of the boarding schools. This is biblical. This is prophetic, y'all. Curses happen to, like I said, all 12, and they are continuing to happen to all 12. We're not exempt just because we got the book. We're still under the curses because we broke the commandments and keep breaking them. We don't.
And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long.
And what you think we doing when we send our kids to school every day? We giving them to another people. Think about the school, man. We ain't got no control over what goes on there, over what they learn. This is why we got to be sending damn notes, emails, talking about how we don't celebrate holidays and we wish that our kids be exempt from these celebrations at the school. We got no control over that. This day and age, you send your kid to school, hell, a shootout might break out at the school. God forbid. But we know that's realistic. You don't know what kind of teacher they got, whether the teacher's going to be messing with them because of who they are, what they believe in, or their skin color, whatever. This holds true, y'all. We're still under the curses. Is that it?
Mm-mm. And there shall be no might in thine hand.
No power in our hand to do what? To be with them, to teach them ourselves. Why? Because we got to go to work. Because this is damn captivity. Read.
The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up.
And did this happen to our so-called Native American brothers? Damn right it did. They got colonized. They got the land took over, and somebody else benefited from it, and they're still benefiting from their land. Read verse 40.
Verse 40. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil.
No, that ain't the one I wanted. I think it's verse 41. What's 41 say?
Thou shalt beget sons and daughters.
That's it. Thou shalt do what?
Beget sons and daughters.
You're going to have kids, read.
But thou shalt not enjoy them.
But you ain't going to enjoy them. They children were sent to damn boarding schools. What joy was that in that? What joy did they get from their children? This brother, 78, and still don't know where his sister is? Come on. If you're Israelite and you listening, you run around talking about the nine and a half ain't our people, the Native Americans ain't our people. Brother, can you read the Bible? Read the Bible and get some historical context, historical clues to help your illiterate butt out. Jump down to verse 60.
Verse 60. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt.
Is the Most High said he's going to bring all the diseases of Egypt. Check a reservation out, man. Talk to somebody that's lived on the reservation. See how many diseases plague these reservations. And you got ignorant niggas talking about, oh, they and our people, they got money. They got casinos. No, idiot. Those are the crossbreeds. Half-breeds. Those are Edomite, $5 Indians that own the damn reservations. The real indigenous people, they don't own no damn, casinos. They don't own no casinos. They ain't got no money. We got brothers and sisters here that they grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where they've seen reservations. Hell, Mashaba didn't visit reservations. He grew up there. the brother Daniel Allah, when you get a chance, talk to them. They know about reservations. And it ain't a reservation. It's a fancy word for a ghetto, a slum. They experience third world conditions on the daily. Read.
Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of.
The Most High said he's going to bring all the diseases of Egypt. Read.
And they shall cleave unto thee.
Read on.
Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law.
Every sickness, every plague, alcoholism, diabetes, schizophrenia, paranoia, eating disorder, anything you can think of, it's going down on the reservation. Read.
Then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed.
Till we what?
Be destroyed.
This is the Most High's purpose, unless we return to him and keep the commandments. Was that the end of verse 61?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have to get Revelations 13 and 9. I ain't read this one in a minute. So what's the Most High's judgment, man? Because the Pope can apologize all day till he blew in the face. But what's the Most High say? Is the Most High going to say, oh, Pope, Mr. Spiritual Leader, Mr. My Right Hand, all is forgiven, your apology is accepted? Is he going to say that? Let's see what the Most High says.
Revelation 13 and 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear.
So he said, listen up. Listen to this. Read.
He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity.
What was our Native American brothers and sisters led into in those Indian boarding schools? Captivity. That's what they were led into. So whoever led them into captivity, what does the Bible say going to happen to them?
Shall go into captivity.
They're going to get led into captivity too. Well, guess what's going to happen to their kids? Their kids going to go into boarding schools. Their kids going to have to be reformed. Their kids going to have their beliefs and ideologies beaten and whipped and murdered out of them. That's going to happen to them too. Welcome to the Bible, y'all. Read.
He that killeth with the sword.
He that what?
Killeth with the sword.
All the colonizers. The Jack Cousteau's, Marco Polo's, the Conquistadors, Daniel Boone's, who else? All them damn people that you learned about in your history class, your world history class, who they put up to be heroes. All of the colonizers that killed and took with the sword, read.
Must be killed with the sword.
What's going to happen to them?
Must be killed with the sword.
So this is your apology, Mr. Pope, Mr. Head Honcho, Mr. Spiritual Guide. This is what the Most High feels about your apology, sir. Colossians 3:25. Wait, I'm sorry. Read the rest of that in Revelation.
Mm-hmm. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
Here's the what?
The patience and the faith of the saints.
Be patient, y'all. I know it seems like sometimes your house ain't never coming back. But it's telling, remember, the Most High said he's a God of patience. He said this is what's going to keep us patiently waiting. The fact that our enemies are going to get repaid for what they did to us. This is what's going to keep us patient. He said this is the patience and the faith. This is what we have faith in. Keep your eye on the prize, y'all. Now let's get Colossians 3:25. We just might wrap it up in under an hour, man. I don't want to go NASCAR Jesus on y'all, but I definitely want to get to my topic. You got it?
Yes. Colossians 3, verse 25.
Read.
But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done.
Oh, my goodness. So if you did some wrong, then what?
Shall receive for the wrong which he hath done.
Payback. what was that song James Brown made back in the day? Big Payback. Da-da-da. Oh, man. Need some get back. Payback. If you did something wrong, it's coming back on you. There's another scripture that says, whatsoever man sow, he shall also reap. The Most High has this all throughout the Bible. If you did some dirt, it's coming back on you. And the Most High also says what? Read the rest of it.
But he that that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of person.
He don't care who you is. You're going to pay for whatever you, for wherever it was you did wrong. You got to pay, man. Pay up. All right, let's get Jeremiah 4:7. Now, you know what? Don't get that. We ain't got time. Let's move on to the next article. Where are we going? Here we go, right there. Trip off of this, y'all. I did a couple of news articles on this. I guess I'm going to have to sit down and put together an extensive class on this. But read this and tell me where you're reading from.
NBC News. That's NBC.
Mm-hmm.
With the peacock?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. House approves measure to share information on UFO reports.
House approves measures to share information on unidentified flying objects report. Yes, they're real, y'all. Yes, they're real. This is talking about the House of what, Representatives? Read on an article.
A bipartisan amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act would establish a secure system to receive reports about UFOs. The Senate has yet to take up the bill.
The Senate has, they waiting to take up the bill. Go ahead.
Congress took a step toward creating a database of UFO reports with House passage of a measure that would establish a secure system to receive information about unidentified aerial phenomena.
The unidentified aerial phenomena, they're trying to change the lingo because it used to be called UFOs. Now, we're reading this from a credible source, y'all. This is from NBC. And this is just one article because when I Googled it, many came up. And y'all can do your own research. I brought out not too long ago how soldiers were reporting seeing men, which we know are angels, spirits, UFOs, tampering with nuclear warheads, y'all. Tampering with nuclear warheads. Yes, it's real. Those so-called unidentified flying objects are the chariots of the Most High God. Get Acts chapter 1. We've been singing about this for years, y'all. All in the church. One bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Remember that song y'all was singing? For your churchgoers? That's real. What do you think we're talking about? We've been singing that song since we was in the damn cotton fields picking cotton. Or for you weed heads back in the 60s and 70s that was going to the Parliament Funkadelic concerts. Swing down, sweet chariot, and let me ride. Remember that? And George Clinton was talking about the mothership. What was he talking about? What was Lionel Richie talking about? The song Zoom. I want to fly away from here. I want to be somewhere free. Come on, we've been talking about this. This is real. It's in our spirit. We've been knew about the Most High's chariots. Read this in Acts.
Acts 1 and...
Verse 9.
1 and 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him.
Now, this is talking about Christ before he left the disciples. So he resurrected, he came back, showed himself to them, he hung out with them for a little bit, and then he left again. But this time, we're going to find out how he left. Read it again.
And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him.
He was took. A cloud received him. A lot of times in the scriptures, when you see the word cloud being mentioned, it's talking about a UFO. It's talking about a chariot. This is how Christ left. Now watch, watch what the angels tell these cats. Read.
Out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up.
They was looking in the sky as he went up. Read.
Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel.
These were angels. Read.
Which also said, ye men of Galilee, stand ye gazing up into heaven.
Why y'all looking up in the sky? Read.
This same Yahushai, which is taken up from you.
This same Yahushai, or read what you see.
Jesus.
Jesus, that's taken from you, read.
Into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
The same way he was took is the same way he coming back. He left in the UFO. He's coming back in the UFO. Now ask yourself, why is the U.S. so afraid of these UFOs? Because they know that Yahushua, Christ, is coming back to destroy them in UFOs. Oh, you don't believe me, huh? Let me skip straight to the point. Let me get Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 4.
Isaiah 31 and verse 4. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help.
Hold on, wait a minute. Let me check up with you. I might have the wrong one. I said 31, right? Jump down to verse 4.
Isaiah 31 and verse 4. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey,
mm-hmm.
when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him.
And remember what Yahushua is also referred to as in the scripture, y'all. He's referred to as the lion of Judah, right? Read.
He will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion.
It says the Lord of hosts. The Lord is talking about Christ. The word host means armies. So Jesus Christ is the head of the armies of God. The Lord of hosts, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is the captain over the armies of God. Read. He said he would come down to fight for Mount Zion.
And for the hill thereof.
And for the hill. So Mount Zion is not actually a mountain. It's a hill. That's why it says, and for the hill. It's still talking about Mount Zion. Verse 5, though. This is the part I want to get to.
Verse 5. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem.
As birds flying. How do birds fly, y'all? They fly in what's known as a V formation. A V formation is an attack formation. This is the same formation that your Air Force uses when they go out and they do drills or raids, that attack formation. So it's letting you know that the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, is coming back with God's armies, and he's going to be in attack mode. And he's going to be in attack mode doing what?
Defend Jerusalem.
He's going to be defending Jerusalem. They ain't talking about the place, talking about the people, the true Israelites, so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. He's going to be defending us from our enemies, all the nations, read.
Defending also, he will deliver it.
And we're going to be getting delivered at the same damn time. Read.
And passing over, he will preserve it.
And passing over, he will preserve it. You don't believe we're going to be getting beamed up? That's what it's talking about, delivering us. Come on, man. Esau is not original. Y'all remember Star Trek? Beam me up, Scotty. Where'd they get it from? From the Bible. And I trip off of this. Let's go to Revelation. Make sure this is it. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 11.
Revelation 11:11. And after 3 days and in hell.
Now, 3 days and a half is synonymous with 350 years. And the 350-year time span is from 1619 to 1969. And this is when we started to wake up to who we are and look at the those times. They're called the turbulent 60s. It's when we started to wake up. Brothers started to wear the afros, the black medallions. We started to get in tune with our culture. We started to wake up to who we were. And this is the year that the truth started being taught on on mainstream, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I did the whole breakdown of Revelation chapter 11. Shabba did too. But I'm not going to break down the whole chapter. Just give you some insight on what we're about to read. Read off.
And after 3 days and in hell, the spirit of life from God entered into them.
To us, read.
And they stood up. They stood upon their feet,
mm-hmm.
and great fear fell upon them which saw them.
When it says they stood upon their feet, this is when we started coming together. We started unifying. This is what it means for Israel to stand on our feet. We unify. It don't mean we go get guns and we tool up and we ready to stick it to the man. No, we're actually unified. And the only thing that's going to unify us is Yahweh Shai. We all have to be unified under Christ. Read.
And great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them.
Now, it says fear fell upon them because the so-called white men are enemies, the rest of the nations. They don't want to see us unified. That's why it says great fear fell upon them. And like I said, verse 11 is going into the turbulent 60s when we were unified as a people, as a nation, because you had the Black Panthers. You had the Brown Berets. You had the Hispanic movement. You had the Native American movement. Go back and do some research on the 60s, man. That's the time where we were the most unified as a people, as a nation. And Esau hated it and feared it. That's why you had J. Edgar Hoover come up with COINTELPRO under the FBI's guidance to infiltrate black and brown organizations from the inside and destroy them. And remember what he always said. His biggest fear was a black messiah. Go back and watch the movie they just made called Black Messiah. Telling you in that movie, messiah means savior. They've been scared of us uniting because they know once we unite, our savior's coming back to get us out of here. All right, read on. This is part I'm going to get to, verse 12.
Verse 12. And they heard a voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither.
From heaven, from the sky, a voice said, come up here. Read.
And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud.
They what?
Ascended up to heaven in a cloud.
They got beamed up. We're going to get beamed up in a cloud. A cloud once again being what? A chariot that Esau calls an unidentified flying object. No, we know. It's been identified. It's in the Bible. We know what it is. It says, and their enemies beheld them. They're going to be looking at us like, wow, those were the children of God? Them niggas? Them spicks? Them wetbacks? Them savages? Those are God's children. Yes, we are. So UFOs do exist, y'all. Now I'm going to move on to the last one. Uh-oh, we're going to get it in. We're going to get it in. You got a question? Ask the question. Is it about what we just read? Ask the question. Okay, sir. Was it this one? Yeah, it was this one right here. Tell me what you're reading from that one. Y'all probably heard about this one, too.
From TheGuardian.com, flashy New York preacher of $1 million in jewelry during online sermon.
Nigga that made the news. Read.
Lamar Miller Whitehead, known for his flamboyant style, was delivering a live-streamed service when three robbers walked in.
So this nigga was pork chop preaching, and some gunmen walked in and made him lay down, break himself. Give it up, folks. Read.
A New York City preacher was robbed of more than $1 million worth of jewelry while delivering a live-streamed sermon on Sunday.
Now, how much did they say he was robbed of?
$1 million.
Why does this nigga have on $1 million worth of jewelry? Huh? Why? What is the need for that? Go ahead.
When armed bandits crashed his Brooklyn church, Bishop Lamar Miller Whitehead, a Rolls-Royce-driving preacher known for his flamboyant style and friendship with Mayor Eric Adams.
Wait a minute. $1 million worth of jewelry, and he's driving a Rolls-Royce? Hmm. And I looked this cat up, and they say he is commonly referred to as the hip-hop preacher. He rolled like a hip-hop star. Google this cat. You see his pictures of him and his wife with their jewelry on. You're right, because he's not. He's not a man of God. We get into that. Read on.
Was delivering a sermon at his Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministries when police say three robbers walked in. They flashed guns and demanded property from Miller Whitehead and his wife, Asia K. Dos Reis Whitehead, police said. The service was also being live-streamed online.
Dos Reis Whitehead. Hyphenated?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I guess she's 9 and a half.
She's hyphenated, too.
So-called Hispanic, I guess. She kept her maiden name. All right, so this nigga got robbed, y'all. Long story short. Give me Jeremiah 7:4. You know, it reminds me, too, that song. Mos Def had a song on the Black on Both Sides album, man. Great album. Don't get me. Don't get me. Don't get me. He said, the harder you flash, the harder you get flashed on. And the song is talking about getting robbed. So he's saying the harder you flash your jewelry, man, the harder they're going to flash them nines and other thumpers at you to make you break yourself. All right, you got Jeremiah 7:4.
Jeremiah 7:4. Trust ye not in lying words.
This is what the Most High said. He said, don't trust in lying words. What are the lying words? Read.
Saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.
Hey, God's over here in my church. Hey, he's over here in our church. Hey, come over here. This is the temple of God. This is the church of God. This is the church. This is the church you need to be in over here. The Most High said, don't trust in those lying words when people tell you that. You should come to our church. Your church ain't really got the spirit. We got the spirit over here. This dude, and I ain't got to listen to any of his sermons to know that he's big into prosperity teaching. This is what he's into. You're following this clown? The Most High said, don't trust in those lying words. The Most High is not, I repeat, not in those churches. Now let's get Jeremiah 23. And so verse 21.
Jeremiah chapter 23.
21.
I have not sent these prophets.
What did the Most High say?
I have not sent these prophets.
I didn't send them niggas. What's his name? Lamar Miller Whitehead. What did the Most High say?
I have not sent these prophets.
I didn't send him. Hey, y'all got to do it out here. Read.
Yet they ran.
Yet they run around. Read.
I have not spoken to them.
I ain't spoken to them yet. They say, oh, God told me. Oh, God sent me a vision. Nigga, God ain't sent you nothing. God ain't spoke to you. He don't do that no more. We messed that up. And he definitely wouldn't speak to you anyway. Because you making merchandise of his people, like it tells you in Peter. Read on.
Yet they prophesied.
I ain't send them, but yet they preach it. Read.
But if they had stood in my counsel.
But if Mr. Lamar would have stood in the Most High counsel, which is his book, which is the Bible, not his private interpretation of the Bible, not his prosperity teaching. Read.
And had caused my people to hear my word.
And if he would have taught God's people God's word, read.
Then they should have turned them from their evil way.
Then nigga wouldn't got robbed. He wouldn't have had tools in his face. He wouldn't have had thumpers all over him. What verse was that?
There's more than 22.
Read.
And from the evil of their doing.
And he would have turned from his evil ways. Let's get Micah chapter 3 and verse 11. And I had to shorten this, y'all, because like I said, I wanted to get to these topics, but I definitely want to get to my class. Right behind Jonah. There you go.
Micah 3:11. The heads thereof judge for reward.
And this was the Most High said by his people. He said, all these church leaders, they judge for what?
For reward.
Reward. If it ain't no money involved, they ain't messing with it. They got that broad nigga mentality. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Read.
And the priests thereof teach for hire.
And these workshop preachers, they do what?
Teach for hire.
If you ain't paying me to come visit your church, if you ain't paying me just to show up, if you're not paying my Rolls Royce Cardinal, I ain't messing with you. I ain't teaching you about God. Well, wasn't it Christ that said, freely you have received, freely you shall give? Didn't Christ of the Bible say that, y'all? I could have sworn I read this somewhere. Now, let's get Matthew chapter 21 and verse 1. Now, watch this. And these cats, where are they following Christ? They swear that Christ is their example. Let's do some deductive reasoning right here. Let's see if Christ is really their example. Read.
Matthew 21 and 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me.
So Christ sent his disciples into this village, and he said, hey, man, y'all going to find a Rolls Royce. Did you say Rolls Royce? A Bentley? Maserati? Bugatti? What did you say they're going to find?
An ass tied and a colt with her.
You're going to find an ass, a donkey. Read.
Loose them and bring them unto me.
Bring me back donkey.
And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them.
Hey, Christ got need for this. This ain't nothing luxurious. He didn't send them to his 8-car garage and say, hey, bring me the Porsche today. He didn't say none of that. He said, oh, give me this ass, this donkey, really?
All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek.
Coming to thee how?
Meek.
Meek. Read.
And sitting upon an ass.
No, he was riding a Harley Davidson tricked out.
An ass.
Hey, what's that biking shop? Goldwing, Honda Goldwing?
An ass.
No, he was riding in a slingshot.
An ass.
He was rolling in a tricked out Porsche.
An ass.
A Hummer?
An ass.
A Tesla.
An ass.
The Mercedes pickup truck.
An ass.
A $65 million jet.
An ass.
He was riding on an ass, a donkey. Read.
And a colt, the foal of an ass.
So if these men are following Christ, why the hell they ain't riding on asses? Why they ain't driving hoopies? Why they ain't in buckets? Why they gotta have these flashy, fancy cars and have on $1 million worth of jewelry? You don't read how Christ was draped up, pimped up, and draped out. No one. You don't read Christ coming down like that. He was on the donkey. Last one. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5.
Feudings of men, corrupt minds.
I'm sorry, read up. Verse before that.
He is proud, knowing nothing.
Verse before that.
If any man teach otherwise.
If any man teach what?
Otherwise.
If any man teach otherwise, then Yahweh Shai, then Christ of the Bible taught. Read.
And consent not to wholesome words.
And consent not to what?
Wholesome words.
Wholesome words. Like what? Freely you have received. Freely you should give. Care not for the things of others. I'm not care not for the things of yourself, but for the things of others. Those wholesome words. Read.
Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness.
The doctrine of Christ is according to godliness, not prosperity. He's going to tell us what godliness is. Read.
He is proud, knowing nothing.
It said that this dude is proud, and he don't know nothing about the Bible or God or Christ. Read.
But doting about questions and strife of words.
But he got a bunch of questions, and he got a bunch of strife. He tell you that the law's done away with you, you got to keep it. But then he'll ask you for your tithe money. But that's part of the law. You know.
Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising.
And this is why you got so much envy, strife, railings, and evil surmising in the church. Because everybody's trying to get paid. Talking about they trying to get the heaven. No, you niggas ain't. You niggas trying to get paid and be flashy like the nigga y'all learning from. Read.
Perverse teachings of men of corrupt minds.
It says that these men are perverse and their minds are corrupt. Read.
And destitute of the truth.
They don't have God's truth. St. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. They don't have God's word because they ain't teaching it. Read.
Supposing that gain is godliness.
And because they don't have God's truth, but they have their truth, and I'm sick of niggas saying that. That's the slogan these days. Oh, speak your truth. Speak your truth. Nigga, your truth is not the truth. Truth is something that's proven. This is where you got these faggots and dykes running around. I'm living my truth. No, you're living your mental disorder. That's what you're living. Because you're insane in your brain. Read that again.
Feudings of men of corrupt minds.
Their mind is corrupt. Read.
And destitute of the truth.
They don't have the Bible. Read.
Supposing that gain is godly.
They suppose that to come up, to have the flashy cars and jewelry, that's being godly. And a lot of clowns that don't know the Bible, that don't read the Bible, they'll follow it all day, coming and going. Why do you think Yahweh Shai call us sheep? Sheep are the dumbest animals. They have no defense system. Bah. Bah. Dumb. Read.
From such withdraw thyself.
Turn away from this clown. and clowns like him. Read.
But godliness with contentment.
Now, I told you he was going to tell us what godliness was. He said godliness with contentment. That means be content with what you have. Be content with what the Most High has provided you and your family. Don't be chasing the stuff you ain't got. Be content with what you have. Another scripture says the Most High gives to all men how? Liberally, freely. Christ said when you pray, the Most High already knows what you have need of before you ask for it. He says being content, that's godliness. Is that it? All right, so we're switching over to the class topic. Let's get out of this and go here. Damn. All right. All right, y'all, man. Whew. This one here. This one right here is an original. Man, this class right here, man, took me places I didn't know that I was going. So, in the last class, man, we discussed, we discussed adultery and what it was. And I had seven different sources that all said the same thing, that adultery was a man sleeping with a married woman. That's adultery, point blank, period, y'all. Go back, pick that class out. It's in the Blog Talk archives, and you can see that clearly. That's what adultery is. So in this segment of the class, we're going to cover divorce, what divorce is, what it entails, what it looks like. All right, so the first thing we're going to do, we're going to go to the Catholic Bible Encyclopedia. That one right there. And we're going to page 282, and we're going to look up the word divorce. You got it?
Yeah.
All right, read that.
From the Catholic Biblical Encyclopedia, page 282, divorce. Dissolution of the marriage bond.
So it's a dissolution or dissolving of the bond of marriage. Read.
The Mosaic law permitted a man to dismiss his wife on account of something indecent or an odious thing.
So to dismiss her, something indecent or odious. Man, we got to come back to that.
That is guilt on the wife's part and demanded that he give her a written bill of divorce.
So it was the law that you had to give a woman a bill of divorce. Is that it? What else did it say?
The husband alone and not the wife had the right to dissolve the marriage.
I like that, yes. So the husband had the right to dissolve the marriage, not the wife. Keep that in mind, y'all. Go ahead.
But he lost this right to dismiss his wife in two instances, namely, if he falsely accused his bride of not being a virgin and if he had violated her before marriage.
All right. Okay, so we don't get into that part, but we just came here to get what divorce is and to prove or to see if we actually had bill of divorcements. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 1. We're going to come back to this, y'all. I promise. I'm not going to leave y'all hanging because I know some of y'all was oohing on some of the points that was brought out in the definition. We're going to get to that. I promise you. But I'm trying to stay on topic. So we're going over what divorce actually is. So that's from the Catholic Bible Encyclopedia, and it's talking about how a divorce is dissolved by the husband and how he had to give his wife an actual bill of divorce. Now, let's get Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1 out of the Bible.
Deuteronomy 24:1. When a man hath taken a wife and married her And it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he had found some uncleanness in her.
So some uncleanness, the addition, or the encyclopedia we just read talked about something odious. So it's talking about the same thing. That definition was quoting this scripture right here. Read.
Then let him write her a bill of divorcement.
He had to do what?
Write her a bill of divorcement.
It had to be written. Something had to be wrote out. I want us to understand that, Israel. You have to, what the law says, if you're divorcing a woman, you got to write it out. It's got to be a bill of divorcement. This is an actual document that we have. Now, I know for quite some time, for years, it's been joked about. I know in our school about, I never seen no bill of divorce. Well, a bill of divorce is a real thing, y'all. And I'm talking about under the previous leadership, it was joked about. But it's a real thing. This actually exists. Read the rest of it. That's you. Read the rest.
Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand.
So write her that bill. Put it in her hand, read.
And send her out of his house.
And then you can send her out. Now she's dismissed. Is that it?
She may go and be another man's wife.
And now she can be remarried to another man. This is what we ain't been doing, y'all. I've been in the truth long enough to witness it myself. We had one incident where a brother was married to a sister. They stopped dealing. A nigga divorce. When I say nigga divorce, there was no divorce bill drawn up. It wasn't understood that they wasn't dealing. And bam, the sister popped up. She's dealing with another brother. Same congregation. Then the other brother was still there. Is that it? That was unlawful. It shouldn't have been done like that. Now, I want to show y'all this. So we're going to go to Wikipedia. And I want you to read. We're not going to read all of this. There's some very important points I want to get to. Read the top of it.
Get divorce document.
Read.
A get, or get, G-E-T-T, is a document in Jewish religious law which effectuates a divorce between a Jewish couple.
Now, so the divorce document is called a get, and it's Aramaic. And it gives the Aramaic references, all that. But it tells you it's a document. When it says Jewish document, y'all, it's talking about us. It's talking about Israelites. But, you know, those people claim that they're Jews over there, so that's why it says Jewish. But a get is a document. It's the actual divorce papers. I hope everybody is seeing this. This is what Moses was talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 24, an actual divorce document. Read on.
The requirements for a get include that the document be presented by a husband to his wife. The essential part of the get is a very short declaration. You are hereby permitted to all men. The effect of the get is to free the woman from the marriage, and consequently she is free to marry another, and that the laws of adultery no longer apply.
This is what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. Read.
The get also returns to the wife the legal rights that a husband held in regard to her.
So he basically gave up his rights to that woman. Go on.
The biblical term for the divorce document described in Deuteronomy chapter 24 is sefer kerutot. The word get may have its origins in the Sumerian word for the document, gid, G-I-D, dot D-A. It appears to have passed from Sumerian to Akkadian as Gitu, and from there into Mishnaic Hebrew. In fact, the Mishnah get can refer to any legal document, although it refers primarily to a divorce document.
So this is an actual document. This is something we did. All right. So that's from Wikipedia. Now, I want to jump down to one of the references that Wikipedia used. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm in line with what I got. Yep. Right on course. All right. Tell them where you're reading from.
From kabad.org. Jewish divorce basics. What is a get? Basic procedure of the Jewish divorce, the mutual agreement, document, ceremony, and aftermath. In Judaism, marriage between living spouses is terminated through a special divorce ceremony, whereby the husband gives his wife a document of divorce known as a get in the presence of witnesses, written by a scribe. The get is prepared and given under the careful guidance of a Beit Din, Jewish ecclesiastical court.
Read that.
According to biblical law, a married couple is released from the bonds of matrimony only through the transmission of a bill of divorce.
Which says what?
Only through the transmission of a bill of divorce.
This releases you. You have to have the bill of divorcement. This makes you divorced. Like I said in the previous class, man, the so-called white man is not original. So he's right. When they have their divorce paperwork and all that, yeah, he's right. But they got that from us. This is what we did. We actually had paperwork to show that we were divorced. We kept records. I said this last class. We kept records, y'all. We weren't uncivilized. Read on.
From the husband to the wife, this document, commonly known by its Aramaic name, get, serves not only as a proof of the dissolution of the marriage in the event that one or both wish to remarry, it actually affects the divorce. While Jewish law requires one to follow the law of the land and thus necessitates a civil divorce as well.
It says to follow the law of the land. We hear this all the time, right? Now watch this, though, read.
A civil divorce cannot serve as a substitute.
A civil divorce. So, in other words, if you live in America and you get an American divorce and you're an Israelite, it cannot serve as a substitute for what?
For a halachic, conforming to the strictures of Jewish law, get.
So your little civil divorce, your American divorce, it cannot serve as a proper Hebrew Israelite divorce. You have to get what's known as a get. You got to have that. Read on.
Without a get, no matter how long the couple is separated, and no matter how many civil documents they may have in their file cabinet.
No matter how many divorces you got, civil divorces, American divorces in your file cabinet, read.
In the eyes of Jewish law, the couple is still 100% married.
Y'all still married. So this is for you Israelites who think, oh, well, Esau's law. Oh, that ain't no real law. That's some stuff you niggas made up. You Israelite niggas made that up. That will not bind in a court of law. Yes, it is binding in the court of God's law. Read on.
Marriage is not merely an agreement between two individuals which can be dissolved at will. It is a union of souls.
So it's a union of souls. This is something that we took very seriously. Read.
The same God who prescribed a formula for the fusion of souls, the formula followed beneath the wedding canopy, also gave detailed instructions how these two souls can revert to a state of independence.
So the same God that joined people together, he also gave instructions on how you could separate through Moses. I hope everybody's understanding this. And we're going to get to that because I said through Moses. All right. So do I have that? Let's get the Zondervan again. What page is it? To do 603. All right, so we're going to the Zondervan 603, and we're just going to the definition of marriage. I want to bring something out.
Wedding. Marriage customs in the Bible center around the two events of betrothal and wedding. The wedding itself did not include a religious ceremony, although it is probable that the betrothal was ratified by an oath.
It was, okay, by ratified by oath. Read on.
And after the exile, written
meaning after the exile, after we were dispersed, the diaspora, we were put into different lands, meaning different captivities, read.
Written contracts were drawn up and sealed.
A written contract, a document, was written up and sealed. That would have been the marriage certificate, y'all. So if we had, this is the question, if we had marriage certificates, don't you think we also had divorce certificates? Absolutely, we did. Let's continue to prove it out of the Bible. Isaiah 50 and 1.
Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1.
And remember, y'all, what the Most High said. He said, let all things be done how? Decently and in order. To have a bill of divorce, to have a certificate of marriage, that's decently and in order, y'all. Where we at?
Isaiah 50 and 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement?
Whoa, this is the Most High speaking to us. He said, matter of fact, he said, where is the bill of your divorce? The bill of your mother's divorce? Read it again.
Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away?
Whom he what?
Put away.
So in order to divorce your woman, you have to have a what? You got to have a bill of divorcement. And this is the Most High speaking to us about a spiritual divorce.
Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you?
Hold on. Okay, I'm going to stop for just a second, y'all. So my cousin asked me, how do you determine that you have a marriage under the Most High? So I discussed this last week. What marriage was, what marriage is, how you even go about doing it. So let's go back a little bit. I just took the zone around away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So get me, oh, shit. Get that real quick. So my cousin asked, how do you determine if your marriage is of the Most High? So the biblical term for marriage, and we covered this last week, the biblical term for marriage, y'all, is you'll see he went in after her. And that's talking about sexual relations. Sexual relations is the actual marriage. That's how you get married. I'm going to prove this. Give me wedding again. All right, read wedding. While I look for this.
Wedding.
Now, this is out of the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, and this is the definition of wedding.
Marriage customs in the Bible center around the two events of betrothal and wedding.
Now, we just read that. Skip to the part you know I want, the process of the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
No, it should be on the wedding. Where are you at? Just turn the page. All the highlighted parts. There you go.
On the day of the wedding, the bridegroom, attended by friends and accompanied by musicians and singers, went to the bride's house.
Now, this is the day of the wedding. So you had the groom and all his friends and the band. They went to who house?
The bride's house.
They went to her crib. It didn't say that they met up at the altar and she walked down the aisle. That ain't how we did things. Read.
And then after receiving her from her parents.
After he got her from her parents. Read. Now, this is where they get the dad giving her away. But it wasn't just the dad. It was both parents. But they had to go pick her up from the crib. It wasn't her walking down the aisle and the dad giving her away to the dude. That's not how we did things. Read.
With their blessing, he conducted the whole party back to his own house.
With their who?
The whole party.
No, he said with their blessing. Meaning what? Dad knew him. The family knew of the dude she was dealing with. They approved of him. They didn't elope. So your parents, the way we did things, your parents had a say-so on who you dealt with. Not, oh, my mama don't like you, so we got to keep it on the low. Oh, my daddy can't stand you, so we got to keep it on the low, and I can't let him know who you is. That ain't how we did things. Read.
On the way, other friends of the bride and groom joined the party, and there was much music and dancing.
So on the way back to his crib, then you had what they call the bridesmaids, friends of the bride. They joined in. They went back to his crib. Read.
A feast was held at the bridegroom's house.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the evening, the bride's parents escorted her to the nuptial chamber.
To the what?
The nuptial chamber.
The boom boom room. Her parents, later on that evening, party, and they had the reception before the wedding. This is where they get the reception from. This is how we did things. This is how we did things, y'all. Not like today, where they have the wedding ceremony and then they have the reception. No. Read on.
While he was led there by his friends or the bride's parents, the next day, the festivities
so,
were...
So he was led to that room, or she was led to that to the room by the bride's parents, and they where they consummated the wedding. Now hold this and get the definition of marriage.
Marriage is an intimate personal union to which a man and woman consent, consummated and continuously nourished by sexual intercourse.
It's consummated, meaning complete. By what?
By sexual intercourse.
This is how you get married when you have sex, y'all. This is the way we did it, biblically speaking. Not like today, where you got to go to the altar, you got to get down on one knee, and all that. No. That's not a God. They tell you don't have sex out of wedlock. No, there's no such thing as having sex out of wedlock because sex is the wedding. That's the wedding ceremony. That's how you get married. You don't believe me? Just go Genesis chapter 29. You won't find no marriage altars in the Bible, y'all. You won't show me where Adam and Eve, show me where God married Adam and Eve. Or maybe it was the serpent that married him. I don't know. Genesis 29 and start at verse 20.
Genesis 29 and 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her.
And this is when he loved Rachel. He served time. They made an agreement. Remember? That was an agreement. Like we just read in the definition of wedding. You have an agreement. I'm going to marry your daughter. We had arranged marriages. Read.
And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her.
That I may what?
Go in unto her.
That I might get down on bended knee?
Go in unto her.
That I might ask, put a ring on layaway?
Go in unto her.
That we might call the wedding planner?
Go in unto her.
Book the hall?
go in unto her.
Get the best man and the flower girls.
Go in unto her.
The ring bearers.
Go in unto her.
He said, give me my wife so I might go in unto her. This is how you got married. Read.
And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast.
Like we just read in the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, they had a feast. Just let you know, the Zondervan is on point. They threw a feast. Read.
And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter.
Remember, later on that evening, they said in the Zondervan. In the evening, he took Leah, read.
And brought her to him.
Brought her to Jacob, read.
And he went in unto her.
And he went in unto her. They had sexual relations. They were in the boom, boom room. This is how you get married. Y'all, I hope everybody's seeing this. Cousin, this is how you get married. This is how the Lord sets it up. Now, let's get Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And you will read this all throughout the Bible when a man takes a wife. He went in unto her. She became his wife. It's in countless times. We keep reading over stuff. Read this.
Hosea 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
And look at how many of us have destroyed ourselves because we didn't have the knowledge of how you actually get married in the Bible. What a wedding actually is. Look at this. How many of us have destroyed ourselves, our lives? I've been having sex since I was 12 years old. I've been having sex since I was this age, that age. Not understanding that that was the actual marriage. Is the actual marriage. That's how you get married. But look how our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I hope everybody's seeing this. Give me Acts chapter 30, because I know people got this question. Hold on, y'all. I might have the chapter wrong. Yes, I did. Let me find it real quick. Acts chapter 17 of verse 30.
Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, the Most High winked at.
So he said that our people were destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? Lack of knowledge is not knowing. Ignorance means you're untaught. You don't know something. So the Most High said at the time of this ignorance, at the time you didn't know that sexual intercourse was actually marriage, the Most High winked at it. He's giving you a pass. Why? Because you was ignorant. You didn't know. But now that you know, read.
But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Now he's commanding you to change. To change the way you've been rolling, man. If you're a man that's whoremongering on the loose, it's time for you to put your Johnson up. Get you a wife, man. Stop posting everybody up. If you're a woman, stop spreading your legs for every Tom, Dick, Leroy, John, LeBron, Malik, Ray Ray in them. Stop getting posted up by all these niggas. That's something sacred. And you know, it's crazy because they'll teach little girls, hey, don't just give it up. Don't give it up to every man. Don't give your goodies away. Why was women telling young girls that? Or why do they even tell young girls that now? Because everybody's thotting. Thotting is like the new thing. What they say, 40 is the new 20 and all that other nonsense they be saying. Thotting is the new thing now. So do women still tell girls that? Hey, don't give your body up. It's precious. Why do women tell other little girls that? Because they understand that you're defiling yourself. You're making yourself less valuable when you're giving your stuff up to these niggas that don't care about you, these niggas that ain't going to stay with you, these niggas are going to have you crying, leave you with a wet behind. And they be speaking from experience because they did it. They went out there. They was hoeing and gave it up. And it just ended up brokenhearted. Left crying. They've been through this. Like I said, I don't know if women still do this. Now, the time of the ignorance, when you didn't know, the Most High gave you a pass. But now it's time for you to change. Now, there are whores in the Bible. And men in the Bible did have concubines as well as wives. A wife is different from a concubine. I want to get that out expressively. A wife is a helpmeet, like it tells you in Genesis 2 and 18. She's going to help you in what you need help with doing as far as regards to pleasing the Most High, following His laws, statutes, and commandments, running your household the way you deem fit, raising your children the way you deem fit. That's what makes her a wife. The scripture says there's nothing much more, so much more valuable than a mind that's well instructed. Your wife's mind should be instructed. She should be able to be instructed. She want to do her own thing. Now she want to wear the pants of the family. She want to be the boss. It tells you in Ephesians, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. That's a wife. If she ain't doing all of those things that the Bible says, but all y'all doing is having sex and that's all she good for, that's a concubine. That's a concubine. I know some people might have their jaws tight and feel some kind of way, but that's what the Bible says, man. That's what the Bible says. Anyway, because I hope that you understand that. So how do you know your marriage is sent from the Most High? First of all, you get married the way the Most High said to get married. Sexual relations. If she's following the Bible, like you're following the Bible, and she's your helpmeet, and she's adhering to all your wishes and the things that you need, then that makes her a wife. If she ain't a wife, if she ain't doing those things, if she ain't following your instructions, then she a concubine. And that ain't from the Most High. That ain't from the Most High. I want us to understand this. Because especially a lot of Israelites have this misconception that just because you had sex with somebody, them, your wife or your husband, there are specific roles for a husband and a wife. And it's in the Bible. If your wife doesn't fit the criteria that's in the scriptures, if your husband don't fit the criteria that's in the scriptures, then that ain't your husband, that ain't your wife. That's just somebody you boning. I'm sorry. Like I said, I know a lot of people's feelings is getting hurt. I'm ruffling some feathers. But that's the truth, man. That is the truth. Anyway, let me catch back up because I'm glad you understand that. Let me find out where we were now so we can get back to the topic of divorce. Oh, we were Isaiah 50, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8. So once again, we're discussing how you get divorced. You got it?
Yes.
Read.
Jeremiah 3 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement.
This is what the Most High said. How do you get a divorce?
I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement.
I gave her a bill of divorcement. This is an actual document that exists, y'all. Now let's get Ecclesiastes, chapter 25, verse 26.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 25, and verse 26.
Now listen to this.
If she go not as thou wouldest have her,
now, it says if she won't go like you would have her go, meaning she ain't listening to you. She ain't following instructions. She can't be instructed. She a independent woman. She a bad B. She the thought of the month. She calling the shots. I ain't gonna let no man tell me what to do. I ain't gonna submit to no man. Nigga, you ain't nobody. If she won't.
Cut her off from thy flesh.
Cut her off then. Stop dealing with her, Reed.
And give her a bill of divorce.
And divorce her. Give her a bill of divorcement.
And let her go.
And let her go. Like Moses said, let's get it again. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. What we just read is the same thing Moses said. So what we read, Isaiah 50 and 1, Jeremiah 3 and 8, Ecclesiastes 25 and 26. It's consistent. The Bible's consistent with what a divorce is and how you do it.
Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand.
Here we go, that bill of divorcement, give it in her hand, read.
And send her out of his house.
And then, hey, get little, pick rocks, read.
And when she is departed out of his house.
And once she's gone, with that bill of divorce in her hand, read.
She may go and be another man's wife.
And now she can be somebody else's woman. Because you didn't want her for whatever reason. Now listen to this part. Read.
Verse 3. And if the latter husband hate her.
And if the next husband, he don't like her. Read.
And write her a bill of divorcement.
And he give her a bill of divorce too. Read.
And give it in her hand.
It got to be in her hand. It can't be some unknown, unseen document that she ain't seen or heard of or witnessed. Read.
And sendeth her out of his house. Or if the latter husband die.
And hold up. Give her this bill of divorce, put it in the hand, and send her out of the house. These were the steps. These were the steps. Read.
Or if the latter husband die.
Or if the husband that she married after she married you, after she got a divorce from you, if he die, she's a widow, read.
Which took her to be his wife.
Uh-huh.
Her former husband.
The first husband. Read.
Which sent her away.
Which sent her away, divorced her the first time. Read.
May not take her again to be his wife.
You can't take her back. You cannot take her back. And I know y'all hear the stories about people that was married X amount of years, they got divorced, and then they got remarried. Well, under the Mosaic law, under God's law, you couldn't do that. Why does Moses say you can't do that, though? Read.
After that, she is defiled.
Because she is defiled. Because she didn't have other rods up in her. She's been with other men. So what is she constantly going to be comparing you to? Jeff? Frank? Tyrone and them? She's going to be comparing you to them. You like your eggs scrambled hard. But Marcus, he liked his over easy. And she keep making your eggs the way Marcus liked his. And you got to keep fighting with her over this. Because she been programmed by him. So you got to essentially reprogram her. That's why Moses says she's defiled. She's ruined. She's ruined from what? From the things that you like, the way you want her to be, the way you would like her to be. That's what makes her defiled. Now you're competing with a ghost. What's that song Music Soul Child made? I'm not to blame for the pain that was caused by previous cats. Now you got to suffer for what other niggas did. This is why Moses gave that law. Man, no, you can't take her back. Now, let's get into it, y'all. Let's get some examples of this in the New Testament. And let's get some understanding. So let's get Mark chapter 10 and verse 1. So I hope everybody's with me. So the way you get a divorce, the proper steps for a divorce, You have to give that bill of divorce in the lady's hands, in the ex or the wife's hands. And matter of fact, did I get that? I'm sorry, y'all. So I was supposed to read that. So the way that the divorce was drawn up is you had witnesses. Matter of fact, I got to get that. I can't go on. I got to get that. You had to have witnesses, y'all. Here we go. So tell them where you're reading from.
From BibleStudyTools.com. Divorce in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Subordinate position of woman. Woman among the Hebrews, as among most nations of antiquity, occupied a subordinate position.
A subordinate, meaning her husband was her head. Read.
Though the Hebrew wife and mother was treated with more consideration than her sister in other lands, even in other Semitic countries, her position nevertheless was one of inferiority and subjection. The marriage relation, from the standpoint of Hebrew legislation, was looked upon very largely as a business affair, a mere question of property. A wife, nevertheless, was, indeed, in most homes in Israel, the husband's most valued possession.
Most valued possession. Can we get that in Apocrypha? Ecclesiastes 20. Let me get it real quick. No, Ecclesiastes 36 and verse 24.
Ecclesiastes 36 and 24. He that getteth a wife beginneth a possession.
Begets a what?
A possession.
A possession, like we just read. But she's your what? Possession. Because women will read this and be like, oh, I'm just property. No, baby, you're my prized property. You're my most valued property. You belong to me. That's why when a woman gets married, she takes on whose name, whose last name? The husband's. Because now she's his property. That's why you wearing his last name. What's that old school song? I'm still wearing your name. What was she talking about? I still belong to you. I'm still yours. Read in the Bible.
Verse 24. He that getteth a wife beginneth a possession, a help like unto himself, and a pillar of rest.
She was supposed to be a help. It says like unto himself, meaning what? She was going to do the things that he liked, not the things that she liked. And it says a pillar of rest. She's supposed to be where he come lay his head on her bosoms. And all the troubles of the world go away. She's supposed to comfort her husband, y'all. That's what it's talking about. He shouldn't go out and fight, have to fight with the world, fight on his job, fight with knuckleheads in the street, and then come home and what? Got to fight with his woman. No. You come to the crib, it's supposed to be your sanctuary. She's supposed to be your pillar of rest. All right, let's go back to the article.
Okay.
So property.
The marriage relation from the standpoint of Hebrew legislation was looked upon very largely as a business affair, a mere question of property. A wife, nevertheless, was indeed in most homes in Israel the husband's most valued possession.
Most valued possession. Now jump down to this, law of divorce.
Law of divorce. Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. The Old Testament law concerning divorce, apparently quite clear, is recorded most fully in Deuteronomy 24 and 1.
It keeps citing that because that's what we first learn about it. Read.
A perusal of the commentaries will nevertheless convince anyone that there are difficulties in interpretation. The careful reader will notice that the renderings of the King James Version and the Revised Version, British and American, differ materially. The King James Version reads the second part of Deuteronomy 24 and 1. Then let him write a bill, etc. The Revised Version, British and American, has that he shall write, etc.
But it's still talking about a bill of divorce. Now, let's jump down to the marriage illegal. No, wait a minute, not that one. So what I'm looking for, y'all, is, yeah, here it is, process and exemptions. Yeah, here we go. Read this.
Process and exceptions. The Mosaic law, apparently on the side of the husband, made it as difficult as possible for him to secure a divorce.
Made it what?
As difficult as possible for him to secure a divorce.
It was not easy to get a divorce. It was a difficult process. The Most High did not take this lightly. Because remember, we're going to get to it. He says, Moses gave this law for the hardness of your heart, but from the beginning it was not so. Remember, Yahushua, Christ said this. So this is why the Most High, he made it so difficult. Because he wasn't supposed to get divorced in the first place. And I know most of us, we've been through divorces, myself included, because we married for the wrong reasons. For real.
No man could unceremoniously and capriciously dismiss his wife without the semblance of a trial.
It had to be a what?
Trial.
This day and age, we call it a council. It had to be a counseling session. Read.
In case one became dissatisfied with his wife.
Read.
One, he had to write her a bill of divorcement drawn up by some constituted legal authority and in due legal form.
So, some constituted legal authority. So we had people that was authorized to draw up bills of divorcement. Because I know a lot of Israelites are going to be asking, well, Pastor Paul, who's supposed to do this? Well, if we don't have a committee designed to do this, then we should. But read on.
In the very nature of the case, such tribunal would use moral suasion to induce an adjustment and, failing in this, would see to it that the law in the case, whatever it might be, would be upheld.
So they would try to keep the couple together.
Two, such a bill or decree must be placed in the hand of the divorced wife.
And that's consistent with what we read all throughout the Bible. Now I want to jump down and get what the document would have looked like. Yep, that's it right there. So it says divorcement bill of. So this is what the document would look like, y'all. Read that right here.
On the blank day of the week, blank in the month, blank.
Hold up. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, y'all. We got to, because I want to bring this part out, too. Privileged marriage. Wait a minute. Okay, let's read this. I can't find the one I was looking for. Read this, though.
On the blank day of the week, blank in the month, blank in the year, blank.
So this is what the document would have looked like. It says on the blank day of the week. So on the third day of the week in the month of, let's say, July, in the year 2022, from the beginning of the world, read.
According to the common computation in the province of blank.
In the province of, let's say, Bethlehem.
I blank.
I Taurus.
The son of blank.
The son of Makai.
By whatever name I may be known. Of the town of
Bethlehem.
With entire consent of mind and without any constraint, have divorced, dismissed, and expelled the
Patricia,
daughter of
Raul,
by whatever name thou art called, of the town who has been my wife hitherto.
Now, I'm just going over this, and I'm making up fictitious names, just so we can get the gist of what the actual document would look like, y'all. And we're not going to finish this. But that was a part. I got to find it, man. But it tells you that the divorce document was a document that was not, you know how you go to, like the court already has a document, you know, that papers you have to fill out to get divorced, right? Where our documents weren't like that. They had to be personalized. So they were drawn up the same day. They weren't like let me get a copy of the divorce decree. It wasn't like that. They were very specific. And they were specific, so there were no forgeries. There was no, let me erase this, let me white out this and put at. So you couldn't be deceitful, basically. But I'm bringing all this out to show how important the process of a divorce was. It was something that wasn't taken lightly, y'all. I hope everybody's getting this, man. Y'all give me some feedback. Text me or whatever, man. Let me know if y'all understanding this, if I'm going too fast, if this is making sense to y'all. If y'all have any questions, please text me at 314-482-9110. Okay, here's a question right here. It says, question, can a wife divorce her husband? I think we already covered that. The answer is no. Let's go back here. Cool. Did we just read that out of this right here? Or it might have been this one. Nation occupied with Hebrew mother translated. We just read this. Hey, wife. Hold on, I got you out. I'm trying to find where we just read this at. I know we just read it, though. No, a wife cannot divorce her husband, though. We gonna get to that. Marriage is not merely agreement. Come on, man. I'm sorry, I'm looking for it. So the doc, yeah, we read it in talking about the document to get requires follow. Husband, you don't remember where we read that at? That the wife couldn't divorce her husband? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say this, Mashaba. I can't find it. I'm going to still look for it. But I haven't seen I haven't seen that in the scriptures. In the scriptures we went over, always talked about the man giving the wife a bill of divorcement. But I haven't seen any scriptures where the wife divorced her husband. He says, in today's court system, official papers just draw off for a separation. Did Israel have something similar? No. No, we didn't. We had, like I said, we would prolong it to see if the couple could work it out. But if they couldn't work it out, then they were divorced. Did we have paperwork? No, but we did have Well, you know, I guess we did, because Paul talked about that in the New Testament. Hold on for a second. Yeah, and I say that because it is. Let's get that. What time is it? We got a couple minutes. So let's go to Corinthians. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11.
1 Corinthians 7 and 11.
Oh, what? Start at verse 10.
1 Corinthians 7, 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord.
He says, yet not I, but the Lord commands this, read.
Let not the wife depart from her husband.
Don't leave your husband, read.
But if she does leave,
Ree,
let her remain unmarried.
She got to stay unmarried, because if she leaves you without that bill of divorcement, then guess what she's just done when she get with that other dude? She's committed adultery. Ree?
Or be reconciled to her husband.
Or let her be reconciled back to her husband. So if she left and y'all was separated for a period of time, cool, as long as she ain't deal with no more dudes, it was all good. She came back to you, Reed.
And let not the husband put away his wife.
And don't put away your woman. So it's the same concept, because if you do, you commit adultery. And we're going to go over the process in more detail, Lord willing, next class, because Christ talked about that extensively. So the process of getting a divorce was, you had to have the paperwork, then you could send her away. You just couldn't send her away, y'all. And we're going to get to that, like I said, Lord willing, next week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. The Water Mashaba for hooking up the broadcast. The Water, thank you, Cousin Devin, for all your questions, man. Great questions. Keep them coming. But until then, y'all, tell a friend to please tune in to Taza Pod.
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
All right, y'all. With that, I'm going to say shalom.